Peace and love. Peace and love.
Welcome to this neighborhood, neighbor.
My mom always said life was like a box of chocolates. You never know what you're going to get.
You know what I am? I'm a housewife that figured it out.
Wow, 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 wow!
And now, here's the host of Good Things Radio, Brooke Taylor.
Hello and welcome to Good Things Radio. My name is Brooke Taylor. Thank you for being a part of episode number 42. And a treat for you, especially on this program today, we're going to talk to a fantastic guest, a friend of mine. Her name is Colleen Kessler, and she is an author, an educator, a wife, a homeschool mom, also a speaker and a blogger at RaisingLifelongLearners.com. And just like the website indicates, it's a great resource for anyone of any age, parent or not, because I think we all want our brains to be functioning on top form. I know I do. And that's what she specializes in. So she's going to help us really get the gray matter going. She's got some great tips, ideas. How do we inspire our kids to live up to their full potential, especially when there's multiple kids, things going on, perhaps underlying challenges? I think for all parents, that's a prayer of our heart to have the wisdom to know how to pull out this amazing potential that we see in our kids emotionally, spiritually, intellectually. So she works with the Holy Spirit. That's what her job is, to cooperate, to find those gifts, and as parents, equip us with what we need to know and do to do that. So she'll join us and also talk about fostering an atmosphere of peaceful parenting. And between those two things, she's just about my favorite person right now. And I know you're going to love her too. So she's coming up. We've also got your feedback and a lot of it. On our last episode, we talked about the morality of self-defense. We talked about the Second Amendment in a topic that was, I shared, honestly, a lot out of my comfort zone, but you came through. I so much appreciate your honest input. So we'll share a little bit of the emails and also the audio that we received about that last episode. The Arise Retreat, Vanessa has a feeling of excitement mixed with guilt, and that's coming up in March. So if you're going, maybe you're feeling those things too. We're going to cover that and a lot more on the episode. But first, we have to start right in prayer. So if you join me, as we always do, begin the show in lifting our hearts up to the Lord, opening them to the Holy Spirit. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. God, Lord, our Creator, we give you thanks. You alone who have the power to impart the breath of life. We thank you for our lives and the life of every child and soul made in creation. Lord, we just pray that you will help equip us to safeguard and honor life by respecting it, by living our own lives to the full and placing our trust, every beat of our heart, in you and your purpose for us, Lord, we pray. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
We just got a letter. We just got a letter. We just got a letter. Wonder who it's from.
We just got an email from Vicky, friend of the show Vicky, who is writing about our last episode. And it was episode number 41, talking about the Second Amendment, the morality of self-defense. And one of our guests was George Cingarella. He is the founder of Lanista International, really cool Jason Bourne personality, and does this for a living, but also has some great suggestions on little ways that we can protect our families, like not being on our cell phones when we're pumping gas because we're distracted. We're not paying attention to our surroundings, and that's a big component. But Vicky zeroed in on this, especially because she is not only a mom, a Catholic wife, and faithful Christian, but a law enforcement officer. So here's what she has to say. She said, Brooke, this episode hit very close to home. Being an LEO, and I wasn't sure what that was, but it's law enforcement officer. She says, I'm usually in Cooper code yellow. Again, we talked about this on the program. The color code signifies the level of alertness you are. This is worth knowing. But she says, for me at work, I'm often in orange, and more times than I can count, I have been in red and black. And like you would suspect, red and black are the most intense levels of awareness that you can be in. She says, I try to educate people to be aware and that there is a distinct difference between awareness and fear. She says, We are absolutely not in Mayberry anymore, and the faster people come to terms with it, the safer we will be. Love and peace to your family. Love, Vicky. Well, God bless you, Vicky, and certainly it's a reminder as you share your heart, your story, to pray for law enforcement, the protection of our communities, and for all you do. And I know you're going to be at the retreat, so thank you, and I can't wait to meet you actually in person. Another retreat goer is going to be Vanessa, and she took the time to leave an audio message on Voxer. Thank you. I love the Voxer app. Take a listen to what Vanessa had to say.
Good morning, Brooke. Just wanted to leave you some feedback on the last podcast. It was very informative, and I'm so glad that you had mentioned that you were kind of going out of your comfort zone. And I think that was awesome. You know, I think especially in the climate we're in, you know, even when you speak amongst other Catholics, you kind of get afraid of, you know, offending or being too political. But I think that the way you handled it was great. And I am the same way as you. When I get involved in conversations dealing with politics, I try to come across as, look, I come from a person of faith, someone who tries to live devoted to my Catholic faith. So I think the way you went about it was awesome. And, you know, you can't please everybody. So I just think that the show was so great, informative. And my husband is in law enforcement, so we've had many talks. Many talks like that. And for some of those who maybe aren't familiar or talk about, you know, self-defense and guns, and I think it was really awesome and very informative. So thank you so much. Also, I can't believe that I actually got the tickets, so now I'm nervous. Now I'm going, oh, no, you know, I'm actually doing that. I'm very excited, but it's always a little nerve-wracking when you're leaving your family and you get that kind of, oh, should I? I'm leaving them. And my husband's like, no, you're going. You want to go. Obviously, I'm going. But I know how I get every single time when I do something like this, something out of my comfort zone. I start to second guess and I start to, oh, my goodness, is this what I should be doing? But I know that the Holy Spirit totally is leading me to this retreat, and I believe everyone there, I pray, and I know the Holy Spirit is leading them there. So how can I can't be in disagreement with the Holy Spirit. So I'm looking forward to it. My family and I are going to San Francisco for the West Coast March for Life. So just keep us in prayer. God bless. And bye.
Wow. Oh, that is all good. Well, first off, I am so glad you brought up the apprehension about leaving your family and how you're feeling. And I know it. I mean, I could tell what you were going to say because I'm feeling the same way. And I have a feeling if you and I are, Vanessa, that we're not the only ones. And the funny thing about that is, as you were talking, I'm thinking about my own experiences of leaving. You know, the last time that I went to Haiti with Food for the Poor, it was just a few days that I was going. But I actually went to the point of calling my contact and inquiring about, is there any way someone can go in my place? Because first of all, I was feeling like I was gone all the time because I was a full-time working mom and I didn't want to leave again, even if it was just for a few days. And then there are the times now as a stay-home mom that I don't want to leave because I never leave. I think somewhere in the middle, the reality that sometimes we need to be okay with being called away. And I know you know that. And as you talked about the Holy Spirit, we all felt that. We felt that in the place and the timing of this retreat, that it is a time that we're called to journey into the desert with the Lord, to go to the wilderness during Lent. This retreat will take place a week or two before Holy Week. And what that means for our lives and our spiritual journeys. And I wanted to pull this up because I ran across it a couple months ago and I thought, oh, Vanessa, this is a good time to bring it up because I'm sure this is the time where if you haven't gotten your airplane ticket yet, we've got women now from 14 different states coming in, including Allison Gingras. I'm so excited about this, who is the blogger at Reconciled to You. She also has a Seeking Heart podcast that you can find on Breadbox Media. She's an adoptive mom, a special needs awareness advocate, and just a beautiful, faithful Christian woman. She's going to be there, and so many wonderful friends that I know we're going to go away with loving and being bonded to. But here are a couple little tidbits from the blog, inspiredtoaction.com, about why we need this time, the revolution of turning around spiritually and how the Lord is calling, summoning us by name. So what she says, Kat, in the blog or in the website Inspired to Action, she says, we need to own this time. CEOs take them, pastors take them, football stars take them. God does too. A sabbatical, a retreat. Mothers are no different. It's necessary. Imagine sleeping in. Imagine the quietness of truly listening. Imagine a rest that refreshes. Imagine time for vision and stepping back from your balancing act long enough to let the unimportant things fall and the important things rise. Imagine the freedom of finally realizing we only need to juggle a couple things, not 12 at once. So we need it. It really is like an exhale, an inhale and an exhale, and surrounded in and through, above and between with God's grace and this personal time of revolution. And that's why we titled it Arise. It's based on Isaiah 60, Arise, your time has come, a light has shined on you. And as we stand up and roll away the stone and receive Jesus on Resurrection Sunday and celebrate Easter, this really is a possibly once-in-a-lifetime experience, because I've been on pilgrimages and gone to Italy, and another time that I almost backed out because I didn't want to leave my family, but I never regret it. And I look at my friend Jen, who has gone through such a tragedy in losing her daughter this year, and earlier in the year had gone on a pilgrimage to the Holy Land. And so many times over and over, that has come through and back to her to console her. And we just never know what the year will bring. So I just so strongly feel that when the Lord calls us, we need to be obedient and to let that go. That being said, I think we all need to pray to just have peace about it and know that it's good for the husbands, the dads, or the grandparents, whoever is watching the kids at home, and it's good for us too. So just some 2 cents on that, but thank you so much. Oh, and the other thing, the March for Life, Vanessa. Yes, God bless you, and especially as a family to go. A beautiful thing. And the thing about this is whenever you hear this podcast, whether it's when the March for Life is going on, as Vanessa shared this message, or a year from now, this topic is evergreen because it's important and always will be, the dignity of life. And the neat thing is that our friend, Father Nathan Cromley, our Padre in Your Pocket feature host, is actually in Washington, D.C. right now. So we're praying for the weather, we're praying for the people, we're praying for the hearts, and he's the boots on the ground. So he said he would take the time to share a message about why this is so important. If you're in the pro-life movement, we always need to be galvanized and inspired and keep that prayer protection strong. And if you're not, well, this is a good, I think, eye-opening truth that he beautifully imparts about the important, especially as Christians, to protect life at all stages. So here's a little Padre in Your Pocket about March for Life.
Padre in my pocket, on good things radio.
I am so happy to share with you a few of my thoughts. I'm actually sitting in the Basilica of the Immaculate Conception in Washington, D.C., surrounded by probably 5,000 people here for the Vigil Mass on the eve of the March for Life. And this annual event gathers Catholics from all over the United States here. And I thought to myself, why are they here? We're here because the situation of legalizing abortion in America strikes at the roots of all of our freedoms. It's not just a political question, it's not a societal question, it's not a question of custom. This is a question of human dignity. And when God became man, in a certain sense, he himself bore witness to human dignity. He infused human dignity with his own choice and his own love. And he set man above the whole earth to govern all things in his image and in his likeness. And so, when a human life is degraded or human life is put subject to any other desire, if there's no longer an absolute where this is the framework, then we lose the perspective that founds all of our other rights. And so for this reason, we need to have that audacity as Catholics, as Christians, to stand for its sanctity. Now, whether or not someone chooses to come on a protest or participate in the March for Life is kind of a secondary question. One can choose to do that, one could choose other ways, but that one take a stand, this is simply necessary, because if we don't stand for this, what exactly do we stand for? I'm reminded in a sense of what happened with the German people and their particular struggle with the Nazi regime, and how at that time many of them kept silent. And they kept silent because, well, they didn't feel comfortable protesting, or, well, they didn't want to get their family compromised in a difficult situation. And we all know what happened because of that. We mustn't let that happen again. And so that's why I'm here in Washington, D.C., with a group of young people. And that's why I think it's so important for Catholics to at least have that sense that if they're not doing the march, they should be doing something in order to show the world the sanctity of human life. This is Father Nathan with Padre in Your Pocket. Glad to be of service.
Yes, amen. Godspeed, and thank you, Father Nathan. God bless everyone at March for Life this weekend.
Up in the morning and out to school. The teacher is teaching the golden rule. American history and practical math. You study them hard and hoping to pass. Working your fingers right down to the bone. And the guy behind you won't leave you alone.
Our guest on the program today is one of truly my favorite bloggers, and I'm lucky enough to actually know her as a friend. Her name is Colleen Kessler, and the name of her blog is Raising Lifelong Learners. And as the title indicates, the blog's dedicated to igniting the love of learning in our children, not only from an intellectual level, but also a heart and soul level, because I think that's where the learning really sinks in and is imprinted, when it's truly learned from a place of love and passion. And it sounds great, it's not easy, but she specializes in trying to find that sweet spot, especially in gifted children. Colleen is a wife, she's a homeschool mom of four, including two exceptional gifted kids. She's the author of dozens of books for teachers, parents, children, and she's a popular speaker across the country. Had the blessing of being able to hear her speak as well personally. And she joins us on the program today. Welcome, Colleen.
Thank you. I'm so excited to be here.
I know. This is such a long time dream of mine since the podcast started. It's like, I'm going to get you on. So this is mission accomplished. But I want the listeners to fall in love with you like I have. And we'll just kind of, I guess, start there. The introduction. You've been in the field of education for a long time. It's your passion. It's your gift. So tell us a little bit about your background in that.
Yeah, I've always wanted to be a teacher, actually. It was one of the things that was I always came back to when I was little. I wanted to write, too, so I kind of got to marry those two loves together. I started teaching third grade and received my master's in gifted and talented education, and swore up and down that I would be in the classroom forever. I would never stay home with my children, never dreamed of homeschooling them. After working with gifted children, whom I love, I prayed for nice average kids. And since we all know that God has that sense of humor, right? I find myself with my own gifted kids, and I'm staying home now to homeschool them. And I work from home as a writer and a blogger, like you said, and a speaker. And I try to encourage other mothers who kind of may find themselves in the same position, like in over their heads a little bit, you know, with everything they thought that they absolutely could not handle, and just to encourage them and help them know that they can't handle it and God doesn't get it wrong. So.
Well, and you live it, so you know, and I do think it's providential that you were prepared so far in advance for what you'd be dedicating your life to doing. And I really think that was a God thing. And your blog has such a beautiful focus on that. It's one of the most comprehensive and engaging that I've ever seen. And the great thing is there's something for everybody on your site. And for those that haven't visited yet, can you just kind of lay it out? I know it's hard to just give a snapshot, but tell us about it.
Yeah, and I try to do that. I think that one of the things that makes it so comprehensive, as you say, is that it's eclectic, and it's just because I am. You know, I like so many different things, and so there's so many wonderful, exciting things to explore in our world, and so I get a chance to just do that on my site. My goal, my focus, kind of my tagline is that I'm raising lifelong learners, and I'm inspiring families to create, discover, and grow together. And through that, I talk about parenting. I talk about homeschooling. I talk about parenting and advocating for your gifted kids, whether you are homeschooling them or not. I talk about raising kind kids, helping them to look in this world for things that they can do to uplift others, and different ways to be creative. So you'll find recipes, and you'll find crafts and activities and lesson plans and things you could do with your kids after school, and encouragement for you as a parent and you as a homeschool mom, if you are a homeschool mom, but just parenting advice and encouragement if you're not. And then that gifted piece, because that is my background and that is my life with my kids. At least an article a week, sometimes more, not really usually less, but sometimes more, focus on what it is like to parent or advocate for a gifted kid, whether it's in a classroom setting or at home as a homeschool mom.
Well, talk about gifted kids, because I think for an outsider, you think they're really smart and that's really all there is to it. So how can that be challenging? But I know that you also add the word intense to that description. So why is that a special challenge?
Yeah, because gifted kids, one of the things that we forget about when we identify them as gifted, we see that term, and it's kind of a term that sets up emotions in people, whether they understand what it truly means or not. Giftedness, as it goes, as giftedness in a clinical kind of standpoint, is a child who has scored 2 standard deviations or more above average on an IQ or an ability or an achievement test. Just like disabled or someone with a learning issue is 2 or more standard deviations below that average. So just as they have special needs because their brains are wired differently, gifted kids have special needs because their brains are wired differently. I would say they're wired equally differently than kids on the lower end of the spectrum. So so because of that, they while we think of them as the smart kid that answers all the questions, that's typically just a high achiever, a good, solid, straight-A student. Might be gifted, but might not be. Most gifted kids also have some kinds of intensities or emotional struggles, or what we call twice exceptionalities, when their neurology just can't meet up with their ages. They are asynchronous, which means they may be many ages at once. They may be scoring super high in math, barely struggling to, or barely able to hold a pencil, and having emotional outbursts of a 5-year-old when they're 12. So they're struggling with their minds in all different places. And so it's a hard type of child to parent. And there's a lot that is misunderstood about them. So I just try to help parents understand that they're not alone in those struggles.
Well, and one of the ways you do that, I just saw a recent post you had about 7 tips for peaceful parenting. And I don't know a parent out there who wouldn't welcome more peace, more calm, no matter how, you know, across the board peaceful you are. But what a great thing. And what you had on your post were not just kind of fluff tips, but really had substance and depth. Could you share some of those creative ways to have more peaceful parenting in our home?
Absolutely. And I try really hard when I write to be honest and to have some practical takeaways as well, because I am a pretty pragmatic person. And I know that when I read something, I want to be able to do it. But the truth of the matter is I get tired and I get frustrated and I get angry and I yell at my kids. And so I'm trying to be better. And as I was brainstorming ways that I could be better, I thought that it would help other parents. So some of the ideas that I had, and some of the ones that work best for me, are like humor. I don't know about you, but like if I start laughing in the middle of my frustration, the whole mood lightens immediately. Or if I crack a joke, or if I just like look at, you know, the kid and divert them. One of the examples I wrote in the post was, you know, the next time your kids are going crazy and they're all rowdy, pick up the phone and pretend that you're answering a call from your neighbor, assuring them that no, you didn't really bring home animals from the zoo, you know, just to lighten the mood and change things up, because it will change the whole trajectory of what you're doing and it will break the tension enough that you can move on.
I so agree with that. And as soon as you said that, it made me think of years ago, we had an opportunity to interview a guy. I can't remember his name now, but the name of the book was You're So Funny, Dad. And he was a Christian growing up in the Middle East. And his dad suffered such hardship. They lost family members. They were persecuted. But he said his dad had the most beautiful sense of humor and passed that on to him. And it is one of those situations where you can look at in the face of danger and poverty and the greatest darkness, if you can laugh at the gift that life is in general and the joy that unfolds every day, even in very sad circumstances, you can teach your kids to weather anything. And of course, we always couple that with our faith, but I think that's such a great point.
Yeah. And it makes everything better. I mean, what is better than the giggles of your children? And they're going to be giggling in that moment. And then you can say, okay, look, we're getting out of hand. Let's regroup and move on. And everybody's happier for it. And nobody lost their mind.
And so that's one, laughter, humor. What's another?
Yes, laughter. Humor is one. And then my favorite, and one I need often, especially as a homeschool mom, is a timeout, a mommy timeout. Like, even if it's just retreating to the bathroom for like a secret stash of chocolate or something, you know, just step back. You don't have to deal with everything in the moment that it's happening. And sometimes it's better if you don't. You can gain perspective. So step back, retreat. If it's something that's really, like if you're really overwhelmed, I wrote about the day that I wrote this post, I had just a long day. One of my kids was just pushing every single button I had because they're good at that. I've told you this before because I think I said it at the conference that I spoke at with you. But I firmly believe that God doesn't give you, he doesn't give you what you can handle. He gives you more than you can handle, because if he didn't, you wouldn't need him. And so your kids are designed to push your buttons. So you are constantly refocusing your attention on him and asking him for help in your parenting. And so this was one of those days. And my husband walked in and I walked out and I sat at Chick-fil-A and I talked on the phone to a friend and I cried with a friend and I read a book and I ate a sandwich and I felt better. But sometimes you just need to step away from everything to get yourself back and find your focus again, because parenting isn't always, you know, sunshine and roses. And you need to accept that. You need to understand that it doesn't, that there is no supermom. And it's really dangerous to start comparing your worst moments with the public best you see of others. And so stepping out of yourself and the situation can refocus you and help you be that more peaceful parent.
Well, the super nanny says, you know, with the timeouts, that it's supposed to be equivalent to the child's age. So I guess for us, it would be 36 minutes, 37 minutes. Maybe we need that. But I think, too, I remember one night my husband came home and I had supper. I served the family their meal and then it was cleanup time. And I went out on the back porch and had my dessert by myself. And my kids were looking out the window at me, but they didn't come out. I think they realized that I just needed that few minutes to eat my dessert in quiet on the back porch. And I remember my mom doing the same thing. We look back and laugh. And I so much agree that even that deep breath and couple in the, you know, the set, you know, and it's interesting when you as a homeschool mom, I think, how do you do it? Because we started the year that way and it just was so overwhelming. And I know it's not easy for you, but you learn these mechanisms. Now for me, I might have silence for the most part all day because my kids are at home, but then it's that cyclone of noise that comes in and everybody has everything at once. So I think no matter where you are, there is a stage of life that really, you know, you kind of need a sanity saver. So that's a great one.
Yeah, absolutely. It doesn't matter. All parents have, and I would say all parents, moms and dads, have those those kind of moments where they just need to be quiet for a minute, you know, or 20 or 40. And it's okay. It's okay. I think we're so hard on ourselves as parents, and it's really important to be realistic and to remember that you're a person too. And it's okay to fail.
Well, and those are just a few from that post. You have so many other great tips, but also with your job, quote unquote, as blogger, which really it is a labor of love, though, you have the rough task of testing out new products. You get to review vacation destinations, educational toys, all these great things. So one of the things you turned me on to was Tinker Crate. And I know that you get to see all these fantastic new things coming down the pike. So could you tell our listeners what that is and maybe some things coming up that they want to check out as parents to try to ignite that love of learning in their kids?
Yeah. One of the things that I'm obviously passionate about a lot of different things, all centered around kids, but the whole idea of raising your kids to be lifelong learners, there's no better gift you can give them to want to seek knowledge in whatever way that is. You know, what is that animal I saw on the side of the road? Being able to, you know, go and pick up a book or look up on the internet just to seek that out. And if you go to my site, you can sign up for my email list and you can get a book, A Parent's Guide to Raising Lifelong Learners. And I talk about some different ways that you can encourage that love of learning in your kids. But one way is to create this culture in your home of learning experiences and bookshelves of books, art supplies. And one of my favorite things are subscription boxes for kids because they're easy. They're things that you don't have to give them the second they come in the mail. You can just stack them away and be able to pull them out on a rainy day or a snow day or, you know, a day as a homeschool mom when everybody's going crazy and you just have to get the house cleaned. But they're good to have. And Tinker Crate is one of my favorites. And actually, that's one of the ones that I haven't reviewed. I actually reviewed it because I enjoyed it so much, but I purchased that one because I loved the idea of it so much. It's a STEM, science, technology, engineering, and math themed crate or box that comes once a month with a project in it that kids can build from start to finish by themselves. Well, by themselves, depending on their age and ability. So it's geared for like upper elementary to lower middle school kids. A couple of my younger kids could do it independently, but fine motor wise, you know, some of them needed help. But I actually bought it for he was 12 at the time when I bought it for him. And his very first one, he built a trebuchet, you know, with, you know, the like catapult with the counterweight, and it worked and it was great. And it had these pre-cut pieces of wood that he popped out and fit together with little mini tools and wood glue. It was just absolutely fantastic.
And that really sounds cool to tell your friends, I built a trebuchet today.
I know. How fun is that? And the company sells Tinker Crate also sells their company's called Kiwi Crate, and I probably have a link on my site, or I could get it for you so you could put it on yours. But the Kiwi Crate is more of like a themed science craft kit for a little bit younger, so like early elementary to middle elementary kids. And my girls still get that one today. And then there's like an even younger one for toddlers and preschoolers that is themed to like colors or shapes or alphabet. And it comes with every single thing you need, including the very first box comes with like their own pair of scissors. So they have them for the future.
I was just going to say, you also talked about a chemistry one, and I don't even know, is it out yet? But it sounds really fantastic.
It's amazing. And I'm really, really excited to watch this company grow because I think he's going to do an amazing, amazing job with it. It's called Mel Science, capital M, capital E, capital L, Science. And I think their website is just melscience.com. He just, oh my goodness, just launched in October, I think, and had already sold out by Christmas. And we just got a set. He sent us a set to take a look at and review because I had some readers who wanted to know if it was good for gifted kids, if it really challenged them. And just on a cursory glance, because we just received it a couple days ago, I'm blown away. The starter kit comes with a mini burner, like a mini stove with a flask, a glass flask and glass beakers, a virtual reality set of, you know, the Google Cardboard glasses to put your smartphone in to turn it into a virtual reality viewer. So you can look at the chemical compound you're studying through their app in three dimensions and look at it 360 degrees all around and see how the molecules are put together. And then they come, so you purchase the starter kit, and then every month you can purchase three add-on kits. And I think each add-on kit's like $11 or something like that. And each one comes with three or four experiments in it that you then go to your starter kit and use with real chemicals and real combinations and solutions and reactions. And it's just absolutely amazing at first glance. So I'm really, really excited about it. And he said that he's got some bio. He's from England. He lives in England, is a chemist, has two other chemists working for him, developed this kit because his kids were interested in it, but all the chemistry sets on the market were really just kind of fun and games, but it didn't really teach them. And so he took what was out there and just made it better. And it's honestly, I think it's almost like a standalone chemistry curriculum presented in such a fun and engaging way that, like, all my kids are super excited about it. And my 13-year-old's, like, salivating to get to it. You know, he can't wait to get another one in the mail.
Well, see, this is exactly why I love your website. And I truly mean that in the reason that we have this Pandora's box of the internet. And so often we kind of just, by habit, go to the same places that we're used to going that maybe have the news headlines or our social media. But we really have the wealth of the world at our fingertips. And you can look at, you know, Fordham University and pull up the transcript of the trial translated into English of Joan of Arc. And our children have access to this. They can learn Latin. They can learn all these things. And I know, as you know, homeschooler mom, you know this, you live it, and you use this every day. But for so many of us that are just trying to get our kids out the door, go to school, figure out what's for dinner, it's hard to kind of think outside the box. And that's what I love about your website is you really have this, it's like an aggregate of all these cherry-picked nuggets that you can bring into our homes and help us as parents inspire our kids. So I love it. And I want to ask you, I know we have to wrap up, but before we do, about blogging in general, because that's how I got to know you as a friend, was through a blogging conference. And wow, this is Colleen Kessler. I get to meet you. But then the reality of, you know, you just kind of thought, I need to do this as a business, and really was like a sponge and took all of the amazing background that you had and applied it to learning how to blog. If there's someone out there that wants to be a blogger and make money at it, which is a very realistic possibility, it's a very lucrative business if you do it right, or at least a revenue supplement, can you maybe give some advice to someone who wants to start but doesn't even know where to begin?
Yeah, my biggest piece of advice is to read first. Go search different places. Goodness, and this is on my to-do list. So I don't even have it to refer your listeners to, but I'm working on a resource page because people do ask me that, you know, on my site that they can go to. But one of the first books I read, the author is Ruth Sokup, S-O-K-U-P, and it's like how to make a living blogging without selling your soul or something like that. But it's all about being a professional blogger, but staying true to yourself, which I think is really important. It's easy to replicate, to go out there and replicate what everyone else is doing. And you might be able to make some money doing that short term. But you'll burn out pretty quickly. I think it's important to stay true to your voice and your mission and to do everything from that well of helping people. I think that my biggest success is not anything that can be measured in analytics or money. It's being, you know, it's getting an email from somebody that said, you know, I read this particular thing that you wrote and it answers so many questions. And now I know where to go look to help my kid. So staying true to whatever it is your passion is and you're good at, then those other things will grow. But if you do want to make it a business, look up blogging for business and you'll find lots of different websites that you can learn from. And I think it's really important to learn from and listen to those lessons that are out there and available on the internet.
That's fantastic. And if you feel guilty about doing research, just get the Tinker Crate, have your kids build a trebuchet, and then you can look it up and you're good to go. So
exactly.
Thank you so much. And I hope that this is just the first time of many to come that we have you on, because you just have so much to offer that I know is a blessing to families and is a voice that we need. So thank you. And how can we connect with you online?
Thank you for having me. It's been a pleasure to be here. And I'd love to see you and your listeners over at my site, raisinglifelonglearners.com. I'm on Twitter and Facebook and Pinterest, Colleen Kessler on Twitter and Pinterest, Raising Lifelong Learners on Facebook. And if you are a mom or a dad of a gifted or twice exceptional child, my friend and I co-moderate a very vibrant, very supportive, very loving group on Facebook called Raising Poppies, P-O-P-P-I-E-S. And if you just search Facebook for groups, you can find us and request membership. It's a great group of parents who are walking that same path and would love to help you in your journey as well. So you can find me there. I talk there every day with the people who are there looking for support with their kids.
Thank you. We love it. And keep doing what you're doing. We're very grateful for all you do. God bless you. Thanks, Colleen.
Thank you. Have a good night, Brooke.
Thank you, Colleen. Wow, another full episode. We covered everything from March to Life to Raising Lifelong Learners to the importance of a retreat. Thank you so much for being a part of that and joining me on Good Things Radio. And as always, we close in prayer. So if you join me as we wrap up, offering our day, our time, our minutes to the Holy Spirit. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Father, Lord, light of wisdom, we thank you for giving us minds that can know, hearts that can love. We thank you for the gift of learning. Help us to keep learning every day, no matter what the subject may be, that we're not afraid of challenges, from the school of suffering to the puzzle of pain to the joy in paradise and the glimpse of heaven that you give us in our happy moments. Let us see, Lord, that all knowledge leads to you, the truth, the giver of all good things, all knowledge. Let us find you in our days and as we learn. We pray for truth to illuminate our hearts, for the preservation of our minds and the protection of our families. Lord, we pray in Jesus' name, amen. Thank you again for being a part of Good Things Radio. And if you'd be so kind to leave us a review, a good one, I hope, you can do that at Apple iTunes. And if you haven't subscribed, easy way to do it, a couple different ways to do it, actually. Either on iTunes, look for Good Things Radio and hit subscribe. Also through Stitcher and on Podbean. In fact, you can become a good friend of the show. It's a little tip jar program that you have. Download the app. You can find Good Things Radio if you do a little search. All the episodes will get right to you. And whenever they're published, of course, we always love to hear from you too. And you can reach out anytime and share anything you think, good or bad. That's fine. I could take it. Feedback@goodthingsradio.com is how you can reach out and share your input and thoughts about the show. Thank you so much to my producer, Mark Cumming from Cumming Home Studio, for his dynamic skills and quick work. Mark is a producer extraordinaire, and you can find out more about him at cumminghomestudio.com. Until next time, friends, on the next episode, we will have my mom joining us. She's got her words of wisdom and nuggets of truth, and also some early preparation as we think about Lent and Ash Wednesday. We're getting there. I hope you'll join us for the next episode of Good Things Radio. God bless you and God keep you.